You know, at the end he says that pray that the Lord will send somebody who will partner with us so we can plant churches together. Amen. Even when the Lord chooses to send them to be missionaries to his disciples, he never sent them by themselves. He sent them two by two. Amen. So because he knows better. Amen. But, you know, sometimes there's got to be one missionary that has to be the trailblazer. Amen. And but I believe that a team missionary works is more effective, especially for your own sanity. Amen. At least we get to argue with another missionary about Alabama beating Tennessee, right? Every year. But you know, the Lord has been so good to us. He sent us another missionary couple. That is, they are already in Guatemala, and Brother Josh Hill. He's from Bible Baptist Church in Roswell, Georgia, and he's a good friend of mine. I met him when he was 17 years old. He surrendered his life to the Lord. Now he called him to preach, to be a missionary. He raised his support, and now he's in Guatemala, and he's going to be partnering with us so we can plant churches together and all that. So I praise the Lord for that. Amen. God is so good to us. Also, we have three guys that they've been called to preach in our churches, and they are the ones who are taking care of the whole ministry while we're gone, and that's the whole goal, you know, for us to train them so they can do it, so they can do it on their own later on. But just please keep us in your prayers. Keep us in your prayers. We're going to be here in the United States until March. March, the baby is going to be due in March 10th. And then after that, we have to stay a couple more months here in the United States. But then we have to go back to Guatemala and then finally just go there for good. We've been in and out of the country because I was not an American citizen yet. I was only a resident. And because of that, being a resident of the United States, you're not allowed to leave the United States for more than a year, because then you lose your residency and then you're not allowed to come back again to the United States. So we struggled through that for so many years, and after thousands of dollars, and we got a lawyer, and we were able to do all the paperwork and so many hours in paperwork and all that. But finally it worked, it went through. I finally went for my interview, and finally they gave me the citizenship, so I'm an American now. Amen. So I'm blessed to be an American. Amen. I wanted to be an American. Amen. And I just praise the Lord for this beautiful land and this beautiful country that I still believe is blessed. Amen. And I wanted to be part of that. Amen. And But I always tell this joke in the churches that I used to visit. I said, I'm probably the only Mexican that is applying for citizenship for his paperwork so I can leave the country, right? So I don't know if I'm still the only Mexican who has done that, but my family keeps telling me it's supposed to be the other way around, right? I said, no, I need my paper so I can leave the country, right? But because as an American citizen, you can stay outside the United States for the rest of your life because you never lose your citizenship. Amen. But anyways, I'm really blessed tonight, and I just want to tell you thank you so much. Thank you, preacher, for sharing your pulpit with me. I'm very humble about it. And I would like for you to go with me in Numbers 27. Numbers 27. I've been studying my Bible for a little bit on the first five books of the Bible. And I just finished Deuteronomy, so I'm back again in Genesis. And the way I'm doing it has been a little interesting for me. I'm studying the first five books of the Bible, so I go from one portion every week, and then I read the Psalms, I read the prophets, and then the New Testament. So I try to do that every year. And at the end of the year, you read the New Testament twice. You need the Psalms and the Prophets, and then you read the first five books of the Bible as well. And it's been very interesting because you find a lot of nuggets. You find a lot of good things in the Word of God, because it's this Word of God. It's alive, amen. It's alive and well, and it's not going anywhere, and it's gonna stay forever. And so God has been so good to me, and He put this in my heart like a couple months ago, and I would like to share it with you. It's basically just my notes, so it's kind of choppy, but I would like to go through them, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. As I was going in, walking in the church, I met Brother Brian, and he blessed my heart, and Brother Brian was talking to me, and he said, "Man, your English is outstanding." I said, "Well, you're going to change your mind after you hear me preaching, because once I get really nervous, my English is going to be all over the place. So you're probably going to be making fun of me. But that's fine. That's fine. I'm used to it. But I want you to go with me in the book of Numbers. And I want you to read with me if we all stand for in reverence of God's word. And now, if I would preach in Spanish, I love preaching in Spanish. Of course, that's my first language, but it's like you're listening to Brother Dwayne Moore on steroids. Yeah? So, you probably don't want to see Brother Dwayne Moore on steroids, but, you know? But tell him I say hi. He's a good friend. But you know, I'm going to do it in Spanish, so you please bear with me. And I try to do my best, and let's just pray before we go any farther so we can give it to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this amazing appointment that you have reserved for us, Lord, here in this building and in your house, Lord. And Lord, I pray for this pastor and his congregation and this beautiful church, Lord, that they have been so good to us. Lord, we're so humble, and to know that we are just a big, happy family, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for saving me. Thank you so much for saving my wife. Thank you so much because we're able to have a testimony that it's all about you and not about us. Lord, help us tonight. Holy Spirit, we believe you are the teacher of teachers, and you can teach us something tonight and bring things to remembrance. And Lord, help us. That whatever we learn, Lord, it won't be for a benefit, but it will be for us to be just doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything you do in this place. And Father, thank you so much for your Son. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Calvary. Thank you so much for the blood. And thank you for being so good to us. We love you, Lord, and we give you all this. For your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Bible says in Numbers 27, now preacher, I know it's already 6:40. How much time do you have, preacher? Amen, amen. Well, that's my kind of church. Amen, amen. So it's 6:40. Well, I'm going to try to be brief. I don't make any promises, though. But let's read in Numbers 27. Numbers 27, we're going to read 11 verses from 1 through 11. It says, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Tirzah, Mahla, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes, and all the congregation, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin, and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he had no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad spake right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he had no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if his fathers have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsmen, that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statue of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. You may be seated. As I was reading these verses here, I have to read them over and over again, but it was something that struck me because, you know, many times in the Bible we read about amazing people, and preacher, as he was preaching this morning, he was mentioning men of courage, right? Heroes of the faith. And in many times, you know, when we think about heroes of the faith, of course, there's so many of them. Many of them are not even mentioned by name. Amen. But sometimes we think about women in the Bible. Women in the Bible that they did something amazing. And many times when you think about women in the Bible, you think probably about Mary, right? The mother of Jesus. Of course, she's more the most blessed woman ever lived. Amen. We think about Ruth, right? The Moabite. Then we think about the queen, Esther. You know, we think about Priscilla, a woman of God. We think about Elizabeth, you know, the mother of John the Baptist, the greatest prophet ever lived as well. Amen? And we think about Mary Magdalene, you know, and Salome and Rahab, right? We think about many, many women that did mighty things in the Word of God, in the Bible. But have you ever thought about the daughters of Zelophehad? Probably not, because I didn't do it for the longest time either. But the daughters of Zelophehad, they had such a great courage and such a great passion for their lives, but also for the Word of God, and also for their inheritance. And that was something that struck with me, and you know, it really humbled me, and it was amazing when I found this. The daughters of Zelophehad, they had a big problem. Because first of all, if you go to two chapters before, you come to find out that the people of Israel is a blessed nation. It's the people of God, and God loves them. And God said, if you curse them, I will curse you. If you, if you bless them, I will bless you. So because of that, a false prophet, a false preacher was hired to come so he can curse the people of Israel, and that was Balaam. And Balaam was a preacher, you know, and for a sum of money, they told him, I said, can you curse them so they can be cursed so we can destroy them? And Balaam said, I can't do that. He said, I cannot do that. But then he was not able to cash his check. But then he got a great idea, and he said, but you know what? Probably we cannot curse them, but they can curse themselves. So this is what we're going to do. Let me give you an advice. If you find beautiful women from the people of Moab, send beautiful women, you know, from the princesses, send them towards the princes of their people, to the Levites, to the priests, to the ones that are... If we get to contaminate the ones that are officiating the sacrifices to the men of God, if we can corrupt the men of God, then that's it. So they did that, and a huge mess started happening in the people of Israel, to the point that one day the Moses with the elders, they were gathering together, and there was... Eliezer's son, a priest, a Levite, an Aaronite. His name was Phinehas. And he saw that there was a prince of his people with a Moabite woman. And they came to the tent. And the jealousy for God and for God's word came to him. And because the Lord told them and said, look, you guys are going to be my judges. You guys are allowed to go and cleanse the land. Cleanse all the ones that are committing adultery with these women. And Phinehas took his spear and speared both of them. And because of what Phineas did for the jealousy of the word of God and for having that jealousy towards his people and towards his God, the Lord made a covenant with Phineas because he had such a great passion for God and for his word. But because of that, that caused something that the land of Israel needed to be redistributed. It needed to be redistributed. And so because of that, they were taking the numbers again of the people. That's why it's called numbers. They were taking the numbers again of the families, and they were going to redistribute the land again. But there was a big problem. All of a sudden, these five women, they heard the news that the land was about to be redistributed. And they said, well, we're in such a big mess. We have a big problem. We have no husbands, and our father has no son. We know that the inheritance from the father goes to the firstborn. But there's no firstborn in our family. When they give the land to somebody, they're going to kick us out and we're going to die. We have a problem. So these women, they understood that it was about to, they need to do something about it. And if you remember, Moses, through his father-in-law, Jethro, Moses was sitting every day on a chair to judge the people. But Jethro told him, he said, Moses, you're going to die if you do that every day. Why don't you put men in charge of 1,000, and then men in charge of 100, and then men in charge of 50, and then men in charge of 10? So they can judge among themselves in the little things, and if they have a bigger matter, they can come all the way to the leaders, all the way to you. And that's how they did it, and the Lord was prospering in that way. But they, these daughters of Zelophehad, they understood, they said, no, this is a matter of death and life. We need to go see the men of God. Amen. We need to go see the men of God. And you see, that's the big problem right now with a lot of churches. They don't understand the authority of the local church. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having a Bible study in somebody's house. Amen. But when you think that that leader of that house is replacing the authority of the pastor, then you're in a big problem. Amen. You still need a pastor that can lead you, that can give you advice, and you still need a church where you have to gather. Amen. Because that's how it is in the Bible times. Then the daughters of Zelophehad, they understood that they had a big problem. Their problem was so big that they went over the immediate leader. And they went to the 10, to the 50, to the 1,000, all the way to the camp. The Bible says that they interrupted probably a meeting that was going on in the camp. And they went all the way in. And this is what they told Moses. Listen how they start the speech. It says right here, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher. And then it says, they start talking to Moses. And it says, and verse 2, it says, and they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They went all the way in. And they say, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gather themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin. Listen to the preparation of their speech. They come to Moses and they say, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gather themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah. First of all, they didn't start with their problem. They didn't start to telling Moses, Moses, we have a big problem. No, 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 no. They say, we know we have a big problem. He will know eventually. But let's not start that way. Now, women are pretty smart. Amen? Now, think about five women. Whew. Even better, right? And they prepare their speech, and they said, no, we can't just go and tell him, hey, help us out. Hey, give us something. Hey. No, they said, no, no, no. We have to do it right. We have 30 seconds to talk to the men of God. We have to make it count. And they came to him and they said, Moses, our father died in the wilderness in his own sin. But he was not in the rebellion of Korah. In the rebellion of Korah, 250 leaders died with their families because they rebelled against the men of God. And they said, no, Moses is not going to be the only one. I can do that too. God can speak to me too. I can start my own church. You know, I don't like the way this church is going. I don't like the way the decisions are that they're making. We can do it better. Come on, let's go ahead and we can do it better. They didn't respect the authority that God put in their lives, and therefore the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. And fire killed over 250 people that day. And they start with that. And my question was, why did they start it this way? Why did they start talking like this? They were trying to get Moses, to Moses' heart. Amen? They were trying to say, Moses, my dad was in your team when the rebellion of Korah happened. Therefore, we need you to be in our team right now. Oh, men of God, we respect you. We love you. But my dad was with you. He was in the other side of the line when the rebellion came, and my dad was behind you. So now we need you to be with us, men of God. But that caused something in Moses. Moses became biased to the problem. But Moses, they caused Moses to go to the Lord in prayer and ask for their problem. You see, that's great leadership right there, amen? You know, many times as pastors, you know, people come to us with problems and we think we know, we have all the answers. And then especially when we become biased and we get in their side, we get on their side and we don't ask the Lord in prayer, and we don't help them the way we would like to help them. Moses gets biased on the matter and he goes to the Lord. Verse 5, he says, and Moses brought their cause before the Lord. I promise you, I'm going somewhere and you're going to love it by the time I'm done. You're absolutely going to love it. Right now, it's just boring stuff, right? You know, it's not healthy and smart to make decisions out of emotions. Amen? It's not healthy. It's not healthy to make decisions out of emotions. But when we are invested, you know, with our emotions in some matter, we should go to somebody that is not biased about us. We should go to somebody that is not emotionally invested in our matter. And then they will see the bigger picture and they will be like, oh, wow, I didn't see it that way. Right? We should go to somebody, first of all, that is wiser. Well, thank God you have a pastor, right? That you can go and say, Pastor, she doesn't understand what I'm trying to say. And then Pastor hears the poor wife and he said, well, but have you considered this? And, oh, okay, so that's what she meant. I didn't know she was trying to say that, preacher. Well, thank you so much. But you know, when you're emotionally biased to, again, go to somebody that is not emotionally invested in that matter. Emotions are important in our lives, but they can be blinding in our decision making. Amen? That's what Moses did. Moses said, okay, now they won me. They have won my heart. They have my heart now, and they're fixing to ask me for something. So I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer to help him exactly. And in the way they need to be helped. And look at the response from the Lord. He says in verse 6 and 7, he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad spake right. Because they're saying, Moses, our father was with you, but again, we don't have no husbands, and we don't have, there's no firstborn. So therefore, when the land or inheritance that belongs to our father, since there's not a firstborn male in our family, we're going to lose it. What about us? And Moses said, well, let me go ask the Lord. And the Lord said, they have spoken right. He says, thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause them cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. So get this. So now, if and then the Lord starts giving, you know, the order of how the inheritance should be given to them. And if a father has no sons, but only daughters, or just one daughter, whatever, that inheritance can be given to them as well. Oh, the Bible is they oppress women so much in the Bible, right? This is the liberal says. The liberal says that God is such a macho guy, you know, that it's all about men in the Bible, right? The women are always, like a doormat. They don't mean nothing in the Bible, right? Well, that's not true with God. Right. Amen. And the Lord says, you're going to give the inheritance to the women. And then he's giving that. Check this out. The daughters of Zelophehad, they were so passionate about their matter because they knew it was about their future generations that they brought their cause, their matter to Moses, to the men of God, and then to God, that they were so passionate about it, and they were so, emotionally invested on it, that they caused the Lord to give law. Amen? They caused the Lord to give a statute, a commandment to the people of if something like this would happen again. This is very, very important because it's related to our salvation. Got your attention now, right? It's related to our salvation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad spake right, thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. They caused the Lord to give law. And it says right here, Numbers 27:8, it says, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass into his daughter, and so forth. Well, let's go to Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22. That was the longest part of the message. Jeremiah 22. Of course, that's law. And remember, God's law, it's eternal. Amen? Amen. It never fails. Nobody can abolish it. Amen? Nobody can do anything because it's God's law. If God said something before, he's not going to change his mind. If God says something is sin, it's going to be sin 200 years from now. Amen? Amen? We know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, I haven't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Right? He couldn't abolish the law. He couldn't destroy it because he would deny himself as God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he was the only one that was able to teach the spirit of the law, the spirit of the Torah. Amen? He was the only one that was able to show it to us exactly the way God meant it when he gave it. When you see that people say that he destroyed the Sabbath and he, that he destroyed his own law and everything, God can do that. He will deny himself and God doesn't do that. He's eternal. Amen? And Jesus is God because he was the Word in the flesh. And I told you all that to tell you this. We know that Jesus was from the lineage of David, which is from the tribe of Judah. Amen? From the tribe of Judah. And remember the law of Zelophehad. Let's call it that way. The law of Zelophehad. If a man has a daughter, his inheritance has to go to his daughter if he has no son. Well, but here, something similar but on the opposite side happened to the tribe of Judah in Jeremiah 22, chapter 22, verse 24 and 30. It says this. As I live, said the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, wear the signet upon my right hand, yet will I pluck thee thence, and I will give thee unto the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Is this man Coniah a despised broken idol? And the answer is yes. Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Of course the answer is yes. Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed? Listen to this. Coniah the king and his seed are cast out. And he says, and are cast into a land which they know not. And you say, well, preacher, that was a curse that God placed in Coniah, but that was just for him to be into another land. That was a physical curse. Well, keep reading. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thou said the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. The Lord has placed, because of the whoredom and of Judah, the tribe of Judah, and because of their idolatry, the Lord placed a curse into the king and his seed. And he said, the Lord promised, he said, this curse is going to be on the king of Judah and in his seed, and no one from this lineage is going to be able to sit on the throne of David. Now, this is a big problem, because this was the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And the Lord has placed a curse upon the tribe of Judah, saying there's not going to be a man, because the curse is as big as the inheritance. The inheritance passes to the son, and so is the curse. The curse also passes to the firstborn, and so forth. So we have a big problem, because the Lord Jesus was going to be from the tribe of Judah. Well, we see here that in Matthew and Luke give us two genealogies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew gives us the genealogy, and he says right like this, Matthew 1, 1 and 2, he says, the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat son and Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and so forth. And Luke says in chapter 3, verse 23, he says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was of the son of Heli. So you see something, you say, well, wait a minute. How can it be? Because if Jesus is going to be the son of David, but the lineage of David is already cursed, how is the Lord Jesus going to claim the kingdom? Think about this. When the Lord was so hurt with his people that he had to place a curse upon them, think about what Satan was thinking about. He was probably thinking, hey, that's a victory from us. You know, the king, the Messiah cannot be born from Judah. Even though the prophecy says that he's going to be that way, it cannot be anymore, because he curses some people. So it's not going to happen. But again, the Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. And his law is eternal. God can say something, and then he can abolish his own law and just say, well, I'm God. It's because I say so. No, he doesn't do that. When he gives law, it's because he wants men to abide by it. But also he says, but this is the way I do it as well, because he's a righteous God. Amen. Well, there was another problem in Numbers 36, and I'm done. Numbers 36, we're not going to go there for time's sake. But Numbers 36, other men from the same families, from the daughters of Zelophehad, which is Zelophehad's brothers and kinsmen, they come to Moses and say, Moses, I'm going to paraphrase right here, but you can read it at your house. It's Numbers 36. They come and say, Moses, this is not fair because, okay, now you're saying that the land, the inheritance is going to be given to the women, but what about the women? You know, the inheritance has to go to the head of the house, which is the husband. So we're from the tribe of Joseph. And when, let's say, Noah marries a guy from Issachar, that inheritance that belonged to Noah is going to go to Issachar, and therefore is going to stay in the land of Issachar. And after that, the inheritance is going to be to the children of Issachar, and therefore we're going to lose some inheritance. And Moses said, okay. The Lord said, okay, this is the rule. If a man has no son, no firstborn, but he has a daughter, the inheritance goes to her. But the rule is that she can marry anyone she wants. But if she marries somebody outside her tribe, the inheritance doesn't go with her, because the inheritance stays with the tribe. But if she wants to keep the inheritance, she has to marry somebody from the same tribe. So the inheritance goes to the head of the house, the house, which is the male, and then start going again to the firstborn. So it always stays in the house. God's so smart, amen? All that is all kind of boring, right? Well, this is when it gets beautiful, and this is what really struck me. There's a little over 2,000 years ago, and the angel appears to a lowly, probably teenage girl, and he says, you're going to bear the Savior of the world. And she says, how can that be? I haven't met a man. I'm a virgin. It says, the shadow of the Holy Spirit is going to cover you. And I'm paraphrasing. Forgive me for that. It says, he's going to cover you. So the child that is going to be born shall be called the Son of God. Amen? What tribe? You know why Matthew and Luke gives us kind of two different genealogies? Because one gives us the genealogy of Mary, and the other one gives us the genealogy of Joseph. Mary was from the tribe of Judah, and so was Joseph from the tribe of Judah as well. But God knew that the Messiah had to be born from him, because he was going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. So he had to be called the Son of Man, but also the Son of God, because he's the Word of God made flesh. Amen. But if he was the son of Joseph, he was going to be cursed, because the seed of Joseph was cursed. There's no king. Joseph was a rightful heir to the throne of David, but he couldn't sit on that throne because he was cursed. So he could not give the inheritance or the curse to Jesus. Well, get this. According to the history, Mary, the inheritance cannot be given to Mary, because it has to be given to the firstborn, unless Mary didn't have brothers. She only had sisters. The history says that Mary had no male brother, so therefore the inheritance goes to her. Amen? And when Jesus is born, but when she marries, she has to marry somebody from the same tribe, so the inheritance stays there, according to the law of Zelophehad. But then Joseph adopts the Lord Jesus as his son, and therefore the Lord bypasses the curse and gives the inheritance to the rightful owner, to the rightful heir, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if that makes sense to you right now, because I probably didn't explain it with enough English. But isn't that amazing how the Lord Jesus Christ was the rightful owner and he played something on the devil when the devil says, oh, it is done, it is finished, you're not going to be able to do anything. And the Lord said, oh, no, I have a plan. I have a plan. My son is going to be born because he is the branch, amen. He is the seed of David that is going to see it, and he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of it happened just because five women had enough courage, and they said, we need to take this matter to the priest, I mean, to the men of God, and we need to tell them because this is about our inheritance and about our genealogy. What would have happened if these five women would have said, we're just five women. We can do anything. We're single. God cannot use us. You know, preacher was talking about men of passion this morning. And you know, one thing is for sure. God is still the same God of the Bible. Amen? God is still the same God of... The God of Elijah still exists today. Amen? The God of Moses is still exists today. The problem is there's no Elijahs anymore. There's no more Moses. There's no more Peters that are willing to jump out of the boat and walk on the water. Amen. There's no men of God that are willing, that they have a passion and they say, Lord, I believe you. If you did that with Moses, if you did that with those people, and if you pick the lowest, if you can use the lowest and the dirtiest, and you know the worst of this world has to offer, Lord, if you've done it before, I believe you can do it again. I'm so glad that the Lord is able to use me. I'm not worthy of it. Amen? But think about this. These women, they had passion for God's word. And they said, no, if we don't speak right now, we're going to die and our descendants with us. They caused the Lord to give law, to give commandments. And I want to tell you tonight, I want to challenge you tonight. I'm done. I want you to close your eyes. Pastor, I'll give you the invitation, but let me just share this with you. I'm sorry that I fell short in my message, because I'm limited. I'm a faulty man. But I just want to challenge you tonight. And I want to let you know that the Lord can use you. The Lord can use you, but you just need that passion. Passion for His Word. Remember growing up in the dusty streets of Mexico, looking for my next meal on the trash cans at the age of 7. And I remember I said a prayer when I was 7 years old. The first time I remember talking to God. And this is what I told the Lord. I said, Lord, if this is my life, I'm okay with it, because probably you bring people to this world to suffer like this. I'm okay with it. I didn't know. I was only 7. But I told the Lord, but if you're a mighty God and can do a miracle in my life, I just want to tell you this, Lord. This cannot be my inheritance. I was 7 years old, about to turn 8. And I think about those words all the time because God has been so good to me. He gave me a beautiful wife. He gave me a ministry. I grew up without a family, and now He gave me a huge family in the Lord. But I want to have that passion. And I hope you want to have that passion tonight too. Preacher, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, brother. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to do a couple things tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come.